In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The reading of this Blessed Sunday is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7, and we are all familiar with the passage that we just heard as we listen to it and we read it every day in the midnight prayers in the second watch. And the setup for this passage, as we all know, is when our Lord the Christ went and accepted the invitation by Simon the Pharisee to dine with him. And this woman who came, and she was a sinner in the city, and she went washing the Lord's feet, and the repentance she offered, and how Simon, when he saw her, what came to his mind is, she's a sinner. She's not supposed to touch this man. And if this man was a holy person, if he was a prophet, he would know whom she is, and he wouldn't allow her to touch him. So he made a judgment, and the judgment here passed on both the sinner, the woman, and the Lord the Christ himself. We are requested actually to judge righteously. Sometimes we refrain from making any judgment under this kind of impression that every judgment is wrong. But the Bible says we are requested to make a judgment, but a righteous one. So today we are going to compare between the cruelty of the Pharisee and those who fall in the sin of judgment, judging people in a way that's not right, and also the blindness of those abusing God's command of do not judge. The verse that nowadays we hear it the most. Whenever someone says this is right and this is wrong, you'll find someone come and say, do not judge. This is not your job. You should not be telling anyone what to do. So the Pharisee, in order for him to pass this judgment, he missed certain factors. And those people who abuse God's command of do not judge, they ignore certain other factors. What are these missing factors for the Pharisee and the ignored factors by the abusers of God's command? Let us go to the Pharisees first. The Pharisee judged the woman incorrectly, ignoring the factor of time. What do I mean by this? Look here at St. Luke when he describes the woman. He says, a woman in the city who was a sinner. She was a sinner, but when she came to the house, she is no more counted as a sinner. If we ask her when the last time you was a sinner, maybe she would say, maybe yesterday. But this is how God deals with us. When we come to the confession room, we come to the liturgy offering repentance. We come to the church and we can say that we were sinners. I am not here today as a sinner. I am here as a penitent person. Ignoring this factor of time will make us sometimes to jump into the conclusion that this man is a sinner. He's still a sinner. Looking at the story of the Lord Christ when he was breaking the bread on the Last Supper, Judas was at that time still a disciple sitting at the table eating with him, and the right thief was in prison waiting for the morning to be crucified. But when time changed, on Friday night, the right thief was in paradise and Judas was in Hades. It's scary how many, maybe few minutes can it change the fate of a person. So before we come and say and conclude that this man is a sinner, maybe he was, but when he came to the church, God see him today as a saint. The second factor that was missed by the Pharisee, the factor of circumstances. What do I mean by this? This man who was a Pharisee, maybe he was raised in a house that taught him what is right and what is wrong. He was disciplined, well-educated, and all of the factors around him made him to become a teacher of the law. Maybe this woman was raised in a house that no one cared. Maybe she was abused. And that's why when they came to this moment, both of them were in different places. Maybe not because this man is good and this woman is bad, but because the circumstances that were both of them were raised in made them to end up like this. Before we say this man is worse than me, I have to imagine myself in his circumstances. What if I had this man's parents, his way, that the way he was raised, what he learned? Maybe if I was him, I would do something worse. Maybe if he was me in my circumstances, he would be much, much better than me. The Pharisee ignored this, and all those people who pass judgment in a way that's unrighteous ignore the factor of the circumstances. The third missing factor is the factor of mercy. This woman came, she was granted a second chance, like all of us. She came repenting. This was not considered in any way by the Pharisee. He did not pay any attention to the status that she came with. There's a big difference between I'm coming to the church, I'm just disrespecting the place, coming for a habit or see my friends, versus that a person who truly coming to offer before God true repentance. This factor of mercy and second chance was ignored by him. The fourth factor is the factor of appearance. He looked at her outwardly, how she looks like. Like sometimes when we see someone coming to the church dressed in a way that's inappropriate. What we see is this woman is dressed in a way that makes us to think of her that she's not a good person. But the Lord taught us, and when he said in John chapter 7, do not judge according to appearance. He looks at the heart. That's why he is the only true and God, because he knows what's truly of this person. The fifth factor is the factor of himself being a sinner too. He judged her that she is not worthy to touch him, but he did not think of himself, am I worthy to have him in my house, to host him? This is something that happens when I think of others and say, this man should not go and take communion today. But I go and I dare to touch the holies without thinking that me myself is also coming here benefiting from God's mercy. We are all sinners when it comes to judging anyone. When we tell a person that your way of life needs to change, does not mean that mine is something that I'm not happy with. When we say homosexuality is a sin, it's not excluding them as the only sinners, and we are the only ones who are okay. We speak this because we and them, we need God's mercy. We speak to them not in a condescending manner, but as people who need God's mercy and forgiveness when we repent, like them. This is an important way when we speak with someone that needs to repent. We don't speak to them because we are better than them, but because we have good news for them. And this good news is when you repent, God will accept you, because we are sinners like you also. There is no right to judge anybody's worthiness. This man should not be a deacon, should not be a priest, should not take communion. This is not up to us. The sixth factor is the factor of his role and calling. What was this man's calling? He was a Pharisee, he's a teacher. A teacher should be mindful that I should lead others to the knowledge of God. He did not think about this. He thought about her worthiness. When he did this, he forgot that God called you to call sinners to repent. This is not your role. He blamed God in this moment, and he forgot about what God called him to do. Like the people of Israel, God called Israel to make them light to the Gentiles. He wanted to use them to bring the knowledge of God to other nations around them. They took this as God's favor. They are the favorite ones. They are better than others. God chose them because he wants to exclude them and give them something that no one else should share with them. This was a mistake. Like, imagine someone is called to be a priest and he says, God chose me, and then I will limit my service to my family. No one else should hear what I know or learn from what I learned. By doing this, he is stopping God from doing what he's supposed to do with this or through this person. The seventh factor that was missed by the Pharisee is the factor of God's will. What God wants, Before we say this man deserves or does not deserve, what does God want? The Lord Christ made it very clear when he said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Looking at her should have made him to think, I thank you, O Lord, for inviting those people like this woman, for accepting them. This is your goodwill, and now it is happening. Something that should make him to rejoice, not rather to be wrathful or indignant about this woman coming to his house. So these seven factors are always missed whenever we pass judgment in a way that's incorrect, not right. Let us go into the other side. People who are abusing the command of do not judge. Every time you hear this, you have to think about if this man is saying this in the right way or not. What are these factors? People say everyone is a sinner. By saying this, meaning that God would, in a way, will change his way and accept sin as inevitable. Everyone is a sinner does not mean that God would tolerate sin. And God is not going to change the scale by which he would measure people and how he judges them. He is the one who said, unless you repent, you all likewise perish, with no exception. At the time of Noah, everybody was a sinner, and God did not change his way. He took this man, saved him, everybody else perished. Even if the whole world, God forbid, will live in sin, this not make sin tolerable. And this is one of the things that people sometimes say, everyone is a sinner. Yes, everyone is a sinner, but this is more a call of us to change, coming back, accepting Christ's forgiveness. The second factor is that God's will for a sinner is to repent. When say God loves everyone, yes, but in which way? God loves me as a sinner so he can change me. His love is a saving love. When we use this term, God loves everyone, in order for us to justify that people can live in sin, we are greatly mistaken. A father loves his son in a way that wants to change him, make him a better person. This is the true love. But if I love you, so I leave you to live wherever, whatever you do, and this is something to say because I love you, this is not true love. The third factor is, when we say do not judge, it does not mean to deprive the church of its role in defining what is sinful or calling upon sinners to repent. One time I heard this from one of the leaders of the churches, non-Orthodox. He said, who am I to judge others? But actually, the response to this, you are the head of a church, a steward of God, who is called to call others to repentance, to let them know that this is right and this is wrong, and to guide them into the change, the repentance. Who am I? Meaning, I do not want to do my role. I just want to hide between the political correctness that make me or my church to be accepted by others and let people do as it pleases. Do not judge does not mean that a father cannot teach his son or a mom cannot tell her daughter this is wrong. Because this is, at the end, what God is expecting from us to do. Imagine a judge in a court, and then while passing a sentence on a criminal, the criminal comes and says, the command says, do not judge. Then what kind of system, what kind of life we will be living? Unfortunately, when we manipulate this, we make sometimes parents feel guilty when they tell their children, this is wrong, it's not acceptable. The fourth factor, that acceptance of a sinner does not imply approval of his behavior. If a person comes to the church today and he defines himself as, I'm living as a homosexual, we will accept him inside, but he cannot take communion because he needs to repent. We will take him with sheer and love, but we will tell him, you need to change your lifestyle. I remember one day, we were visited by a person. She was a girl, but she came in a form of a boy, and she was going through this transgender thing. So I remember when Abuna James, he or she came to him to talk about herself. She came and she looks like a boy. Even we didn't know her at the beginning. Abuna told her that you are accepted, we love you, but you need to change. And when he was reading her a prayer, he addressed her all the time as her, asking God for her. It does not mean because we love you, then it's okay that you do this. People sometimes say that the community is pressing those people. We are oppressing them, forcing them to change. This is actually helping them to be treated. If a person now has a mental illness, acceptance does not mean that live as it, it's okay, it's fine. Don't go to any physician, don't ask for treatment. You are okay like this. Otherwise, we open the door now that as homosexuality is normal in the community, transgender is okay. What about pedophilics? It should be also, I was born like this and accept me like this. What about people who are practicing sexual contact with animals? Why not? Let us get into this dilemma and accept anybody and everything. This behavior is not accepted. Anyone is welcome, but this needs to be addressed and changed. The fifth factor is cruelty in judging others. Worthiness is as wrong as the blind emotional way of doing so. Sometimes people who are defending that people should live as they like, they usually come to us with this kind of emotional way of expressions. That God loves everyone, this person is a poor person. Yes, he's a poor person, that's why he needs treatment. Being cruel is not accepted by God, and being emotionally blind is not also accepted. This apparent kindness, as if like we are more kind than God himself, who says this is wrong. And people say this is how it's born. If they are born like this, why God would judge this as a sin? Then the Bible is wrong. If we accept this as normal, then there's something wrong with the book that we believe is infallible. The last factor that's ignored by those people who misuse or abuse, do not judge, that hearing the truth about right and wrong is not breaking the command. Now stand in any place and say, this is wrong. Then you immediately will receive the look. You are intolerant, narrow-minded, fanatic, all of these things. This is some kind of a persecution, by the way. There is always will be right and wrong. And who defines this? It's not me or you or anybody. It is the Bible. It is what Christ says. It was what the church lived. This is not breaking the command. Do not judge. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. The truth hurts, yes, but it heals also. The problem now is not we live in a time where sin is prevailing. This is not a problem. The problem now is we are defining what sin is. Sin has been always prevailing throughout history. But I don't think in any time people were giving definitions as they think on what is right and what is wrong. So now people are born and live never knowing that this is wrong. When you hear it from you, because you are the one who should speak the truth, maybe we will not be liked, will not be favored, but this is how we understand love, to speak the truth in meekness and love. May the Lord to grant us all the wisdom and the love and meekness by which we speak what is right, speak the truth, and judge according to God's will, judging righteously. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.